Right, praise the Lord. It's good to see everybody.
Yeah.
And it's good to be together.
Yeah.
And rejoicing in what God's doing. I want today to have a look at Psalm 27 today. So if you've got your Bibles, if you turn to Psalm 27, please. And we're just going to spend some time in the Word of God. The Word of God is so important to us. And it is life changing.
Yeah.
And without it,
mm-hmm.
we'd be in fear
yeah.
and trembling and
yeah.
panicking. But because of the Word, we can stand on these promises and know the power of God is working on our behalf.
Amen.
So, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation.
Amen.
Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to
yeah.
pause there. We're going to go through this psalm a little bit. So, the Lord is my light and my salvation.
Thank you, God.
You know, today it seems so much that the world is struggling with the situations. They don't know what to do. They're struggling with how to cope with this virus. And it's a little bit like they're in the dark with it.
Yeah.
But you know, if they would reach out to God, and if they would call upon God and begin to admit that they need help other than themselves, then I'm sure that they would find it. Because God is all knowledge. God is all wisdom. You know, all knowledge and wisdom actually comes from God.
Yeah.
And He would give to us the answers that we need. God can move mightily.
Amen.
We read in the Bible how so many situations where the people of God are in difficult situations and difficult circumstances when plague is upon them.
Yeah.
They when they turn back to God, mm-hmm. God provided a way of escape.
Mm-hmm.
God provided an answer.
Mm-hmm.
God brought them through. When there was that time when the waters were bitter and undrinkable, and he said the prophet cut, in his wisdom from God, he cut up a branch and he threw it into the water, and the bitter waters turn sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, God has an answer, and all it is about us following Him and obeying Him. You know, he said, Jesus says in John's Gospel, chapter 8, He says that I am the light of the world, and that if we would walk hand in hand with Jesus, we would find that God would lead us and direct us.
Mm-hmm.
We would find the presence of God with us each day in our lives. We would find God close to us. We would find God moving on our behalf. And all we need to do is just walk in His way, call upon Him. And David talks about this in this very psalm. And so I just want to have us spend that time in this psalm and just reaching out. And so, Jesus, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Praise God. You know, Jesus is the light of life. Praise mm-hmm. His wonderful name. And if we would walk in the Word of God, we will have light for our situation and for our circumstances. God does not intend us to be stumbling and falling all over the place. God has a plan for us. God has a purpose for us. And God wants us to walk in His light. And so it's time for the world needs to turn back to God. The world needs to turn back to Christ and to know Him, who to know His life eternal. You know, it goes on in this Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Wow. Salvation. What does that mean? Salvation means it is not just that we're going to heaven. Salvation means that He died for all our sicknesses, for all our diseases. He took our punishment for our sins upon the cross. He died for our mental torments. Salvation, the death of the cross, is for all of humanity. It is a completed work. Nothing was left undone. Nothing was left that could not be finished. Because when Jesus, before he died on that cross, he said this one thing. He says, it is finished. In other words, everything was complete. The price for everything that the enemy was taking from us was paid for. Jesus paid that price.
Mm-hmm.
And so salvation is a completed work. And so healing is for today. Deliverance is for today.
Yeah.
Freedom is for today because it is purchased through Christ Jesus. And that is so wonderful. And so we need to remember that. And so he goes on to David says, whom shall I fear? There's nothing to fear. And we talked the other day about fear not. Who shall we fear? There's nothing to fear. But as Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And we find that if we would take on that attitude and purpose that, well, no matter what's going on, have you a purpose in life? Has God a plan for you?
Yes.
And if he has, then things are good. Because God is moving us forward with his plans and with his purposes. And so it is important that we realize that there is a destiny for each and every one of us. But in this same verse it says, the Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? God is there to protect us. God is there to cover us. God is there to stand over us and to cover us. We've talked about that in the past. Round about and over us are the everlasting arms, are his wings that cover us and that protect us and hold us safe. Verse 2 says, when evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversary and my enemy, they stumbled and fell. Wow, praise God. You know, when something comes against you, if you, and I always say this, I keep saying this time and time again, if we will keep Jesus center of all things, when our enemy, when our adversary comes against us, they'll stumble and fall.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll stumble and fall. And he goes on to say, though hosts encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. Our confidence, our faith, has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith and confidence has to be in that the Lord is going to do great things for us. And so, here we are. The enemy seeks to come against us. And the Lord's saying, David's saying, my heart will not fear. You see, fear is a destroyer.
Yeah.
Fear will cause us to be paralyzed. The old saying that we have is like a scared rabbit in the headlights of a car.
Mm.
And if you are driving, and this has happened to me a number of times, driving down a country lane on a night time and the headlights on, and I've seen where there's been rabbits in the middle of the road. And as soon as the headlights hit them, they freeze.
Yeah.
They don't move. They're just frozen in time because of the fear that has just come over them. And fear paralyzes us. And so it's important that we realize that we have to fear not. Don't let fear take its grip on you. Don't let fear come over you. You know, David in this psalm is speaking about being fearless and trusting in the Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
And that's where we have to come to that point of being fearless and trusting in the Lord God Almighty. No matter what is going on around us, no matter who is trying to come against us, God is at work. And God will do it and cover us by his almighty wings. Verse 4, one thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David here knows the power of dwelling in the presence of God.
Amen.
He talks here about dwelling in the house. He's not actually speaking about dwelling in the church, living in the church, but he's actually talking about the relationship of dwelling in the very presence of a living God. Knowing God on a very intimate detail. Knowing God in a very intimate way. And we can sort of say, well, and I keep saying this, and I'm going to keep repeating it, because people, some people have not heard it, and they need to hear it. Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, God came in the cool of the evening every day to spend time with his people, Adam and Eve. And in the same way, this day, and every day that we live, God wants to be able to spend time with you as an individual, because you are precious to God. He says, in the Word of God, he says, he knows the number of hairs that are upon your head. And even when you get showered and you lose one or two in the shower, or you run the comb through, God still knows how many. You see, God knows us so intimately. He knows us better than we actually know ourselves. And that is astounding to me. Why would God be so interested in us? One, we're his children. Two, he made us. And three, he loves all his creation. And he loves you because of the sacrifice of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you have honored his son and lifted him high. And so God loves us beyond an explanation. God loves us beyond all understanding that we can appreciate, because we would look at ourselves and say, I'm not worthy. No, we were not worthy. But Christ, through his death and the sacrifice of his blood, he made us worthy. And that is so precious. Amen. And that is something that we should grasp hold of and hold on to and grab hold with both hands. And so continuing in verse 4, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. You know, where is God's temple? It's in us. And you know, when we go and sit in our rooms, go and sit in a chair and pick up the Word of God and just sit there and begin to talk to God. Talk to him as you would talk to your best friend, because that's what he is. I know he's called our Heavenly Father. Some people have father issues and struggle with that. Talk to him as your best friend. And as you talk to him as your best friend, and allow him, and sometimes we need to be quiet and let him talk back to us.
Yeah.
Because prayer is conversation. And conversation goes two ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got to be both ways. Backwards and forwards. Questions and answers. Answers and questions, and encouraging each other in that sense. God wants to hear our praises. God wants to hear our worship unto him. But at the same time, he wants to give back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over into our lives. Verse 5. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up upon a rock. No matter what's happening, in the midst of a storm, God is there to protect us. In the midst of turmoil, God is there to care for us. But it is, all of this comes out of this relationship, this acceptance of Jesus, and out of this relationship of loving God and having a one-to-one, because being a Christian is a 24/7, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year. It is a continual walking relationship, and no matter what time of day, God can speak to you. No matter what time of day, God can whisper things to you. He was talking to me this morning at 4:00 in the morning, and it's just like, I am so amazed that God would take time out just to whisper into our ears, just to speak to us. Because he does that because he loves us. He is drawing us into that secret place, because in that secret place, God wants to love us. He wants us to experience the true love. He wants to be able to whisper to us how much he cares for us and for our families and for our future. You see, God has plans for the future,
mm-hmm.
and he wants you and I to begin to walk in them. Verse 6, and now my head will be lifted above my enemies around me. Wow. You see, you are not lifting your head up above your enemies. The people that would seek to come against us, the people that would roar against us, this is God. David's intimating here that, and now my head will be lifted up, because God's doing it. And when God lifts us up, when God places us upon the rock, nobody's going to take us off there, because God is with us and he is for us. So it is about God lifting us up. We don't try and exalt ourselves, but we allow God to exalt us. God will bring us to a place of exalting us and placing us in that place where we become witnesses, we become lights to people around us. Verse 6 says, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. You know, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling depressed, when you're struggling, take a hymn. And just begin, a musical day will sing you one anytime you want. And just take that song and rejoice and worship God. You might say, well, I'm not a great singer. It's not about the fact of being a great singer, but it is about the fact that your heart is now rejoicing, that you are beginning to worship God, and God is not interested whether the notes are always in the right place. He's looking at your heart. He's listening to your heart as we worship and bless and magnify the Lord. Verse 7 says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. Verse 8, when thou didst say, seek my face, my heart said to you, thy face, O Lord, I will seek. Cry unto the Lord with your voice. Vocalize your feelings to God. Vocalize where you are to the Lord. He's not afraid of what you're thinking. He knows what you're thinking, but you need to realize that God wants to minister into that circumstance and situation. And, you know, when we're desperate, we need to seek his face. What does that mean? That means seeking the very presence of God. Just moving closer to him. Don't try and work things out. So often we're busy trying to understand and work things out, and our mind gets in the way. We need to begin to let God work things out, seek his face. And as we seek his face, then we shall find that God will reveal himself to us. And God will show himself. David says in verse 9, he says, do not hide thy face from me. Do not turn thy face, thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Do not abandon me, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. You know, David had suffered massive rejections through his life. He'd been chased around the country. He'd been hiding in caves and hiding from Saul. And people had turned their backs on him. They turned against him.
Mm-hmm.
And yet all the time, he's concerned initially, is God going to do the same thing to him?
Yeah.
But thankfully we know that the Word of God tells us that Father God says, he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us, we will never be alone. Because that's what, through salvation in Christ Jesus, we will never, ever be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God for that. And so as we seek the presence of God and we know the power of God working in our lives, he says, even though like your mother, he says, his mother and father may have forsaken him, but he says, the Lord will take me up. The Lord will care for me. The Lord will look after me. And we have to remember that all that we go through during that time, God will care for us. God will look after us. don't know what's happening there. God will protect us
and keep us. Just let me just turn this down.
Okay, my apologies for that. And so, father and mother have forsaken us, but the Lord will take me. No matter who forsakes you, God will never forsake you. No matter what the situation is, he will always be there for us, and caring and watching over us. Verse 11 says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. The word of God is what keeps us. The word of God is what protects us. The word of God is what keeps us stable. The word of God is what keeps us on the right paths going forward with God. Without the word of God, we're lost. We're wandering around the world. We're wandering around in our lives without a map.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a map, and you're somewhere in a place where you've never been before, you can so easily be lost.
Yeah.
And so we have to realize that we're living in this world today. We've never been here before,
mm-hmm.
despite what some people may try and think or imagine. We've never been here before. And if we don't have God's plan for our lives, then we wander around this world lost.
Yeah.
And we're drawn by every bright light. Mm-hmm. Something draws us from here, something draws us from there. And we've been pulled in so many directions that in the end, our lives have no purpose. Our lives have no future because we're being dragged backwards and forwards, here and there. And in the end, we are being pulled apart.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy wants to pull us apart. The enemy wants to destroy us. The enemy wants to break us. But God wants us to know his presence in our lives. And so we need him. We need that roadmap. And the roadmap is the word of God. The roadmap is directed by the Holy Spirit. He's our GPS.
Yeah.
He's our God's special envoy in our lives, that he guides us and shows us the way and tells us where to go and how to do what we should do. And so, if you want to find your way through this life, then we need to stick to the roadmap. And the roadmap is the Word of God. The roadmap is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and God the Father speaking to us and Jesus ministering into our lives. He took the children of Israel into a wilderness situation and he kept them for 40 years. And God can keep us. No matter where we are, God can keep us. But we need to make sure that we use the roadmap, the word of God. And as we use the roadmap, we will find our way through our difficult times. We will find our way through the wilderness. We will find our way through the challenges in life. And it's this roadmap, the word of God, that will take us through. He didn't promise us an easy way, but he did promise to take us through.
Mm-hmm.
And to bring us out the other side in victory. Verse 11 says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. You know, these days the world is so up and down, just up and down. One minute people are on a high, next minute they're rejoicing in what they've got, next minute they're down in the molly globes, they're in fear, they're in panic, they're in disarray, and they just don't know how to handle things. Hate to say it, but when we go to America, the amount of fear that is generated by the media is phenomenal. And today, our media is following in its same footsteps and
yeah.
is going in that same direction. And it is constantly generating fear.
Mm.
Well, the Bible tells us, fear not.
Mm-hmm.
Fear not. And so we take the word of God. The word of God was there before the media, let me tell you. And the word of God is true. And the word of God, Jesus said, this word shall not change. Right? This word is secure. This word will never, ever change. And so we have to stand on the word of God and the promises of God. Verse 12. Do not deliver me over to the desires of my adversary. For false witnesses have risen against me.
and such as breathe out violence. Oh, praise God. You know that God will not deliver us over. As we walk in that relationship with the Lord Jesus, He holds us. We're not being delivered over to the enemy. One of the things we have to remember and to realize in that our relationship with the Lord Jesus, it needs to be a dynamic devotional relationship. What does that mean? It means that we should be constantly spending time with God. Because the time that we spend with God actually affects us permanently. And it affects changes in our lives. The time that we spend with God, that's what it does. It affects changes in our lives. But we can't do it in a half-hearted way. We have to do it with purpose.
Yeah.
We have to do it with meaning. We have to do it in a heartfelt way. And I'm probably today talking to the converted that are already doing that. But you know, there are people who will at some stage listen to this on our church website, and we want them to develop a relationship that is a deep, heartfelt relationship with the Lord Jesus. A deep heart relationship that they can have with God, that God is a reality, God is a truth, and God is there for you, and that God wants to minister into you and through you. And that is so exciting that God will use each and every one of us for His praise and for His glory. God wants to do that. God wants to you to know Him in a deeper way than you've ever known Him before. God wants to be around you.
Oh,
wow. You know, isn't that amazing? God actually, the creator of the universe that holds everything together, has decided He wants to be around you. He wants to be with you. He actually wants to be your friend. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to hear His voice. And so this relationship, this devotional relationship, has to be dynamic. It's two-way. It's interactive. And God is ministering into us and through us, and He wants us to minister back to Him in such a way to know that we love Him as He loves us. And so it is important. So when our enemy would seek to come against us, when our enemy seeks to pull us down, when our enemy brings false witness, and so often people will tell things and say things about us that are not true.
Mm.
But don't worry about it. Just hand it over to God and you move on. Because it is pointless waiting around. Because vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and He will repay. And so if somebody's bad-mouthing you, saying the wrong things about you, just bless them, move on. Leave it to God, because you don't have the abilities. It will wear you down, it will stress you out, and in the end you will achieve nothing. So just move on and enjoy God.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth will always come to the top. The truth will always show out. And we can press on together with God. Verse 13. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Mm.
Let's be encouraged. Today, we shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is with us.
Mm-hmm.
And as we pray, when we pray for our nation, and for the nations, pray for the area that we live in, and expect God to begin to change these people. Expect through this circumstance that is going on in the nations that God will be vindicated.
Yeah.
I think I heard just something the other day that in America, they're bringing back prayer into schools, prayer into government, that Trump is saying this is no longer happening. Whether you object to it or not, or whether you like it or not, prayer is coming back into our nation.
Amen.
You know? And in the same way, we need prayer. Prayer is what changes things.
Mm.
The relationship that we have with God is what changes things.
Yeah.
Do not be ashamed of your faith. Do not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not ashamed of you, and we should not be ashamed of Him. He was perfect. He is perfect. And He died so that we too might become perfect and made in His very image. And so let's just be, have that dynamic relationship, have that ability and that desire to say, look, I'm standing for what I believe. I'm standing on the promises of God. Grace and I have stood for 25 years on the promises of God, and God has faithfully delivered that promise to us. And there is still part of that promise to be fulfilled with regard to the church. And so we're standing, and we're standing firm, and we have an expectancy that God is going to do great and mighty things, because we're going to live in the land of the living.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God has a promise on us. God has a plan for us and a purpose. We're not going to be foolish, but we are going to see God move in a mighty way, and we're praying that God will change the destiny of our nation and the nations, mm-hmm. and that there will be a harvest. The word of God says there will be a harvest. It says yes in the parable of the wheat and the tares. It tells us there that there were bad seed, there was good seed. The master sowed good seed into our lives. And a wicked one sowed tares, and he says they grow up together. And you know, they're growing together. The wicked are growing whilst we're here. That's great, because hopefully we can save some of these folks from the brands. We can show them Jesus and let them turn from being tares into becoming wheat. But you know, God says in the end, the angels shall come down, and they will remove the tares, and that the wheat will then be brought into the harvest. So we're here for some time.
Yeah.
We're here because there's a harvest to come. There's a purpose and a plan.
Yeah.
Verse 14 says, wait for the Lord. That's what we've got to do.
Yeah.
We have to wait for God. And God will do exactly what he promised to do. If you've got promises in your life from God over the years, and they have not yet been fulfilled, then start waiting on God, because they will be fulfilled. God is faithful to his promise. He will never fail in what he promises. So wait on the Lord. And he says, be strong and let your heart take courage.
Yeah.
That reminds me, we go back the other day, Joshua, only be courageous and strong. Yeah? Standing on the promises, standing on God's word that God is well able, standing on the promise that God has given to you, to me, as individuals, and as a body together, we stand on the promises of God. Yes, wait for the Lord. And let's wait for the Lord. Let's stand on these promises. Wait for the Lord. Let's take courage. Let's not be afraid. And let's believe God is going to do something great. And you know, David repeats it. Wait upon the Lord. And you know, we need to wait upon God. And as we wait upon God, we will see God moving in power. We'll see God moving in strength. And he's going to do it. And he's going to do it through you and I. He's going to move in a wonderful way.
Yeah.
And all we have to do is stay in his presence and just rejoice. Trust him, know him, and just stay close to him.
Mm.
And let that word of God rest in you. And let you become a word in season. Let you become a word of presence and power into people's lives. And people are going to be looking at you and saying, why is it you're so calm? Why is it you're so at peace? Because I have the Prince of Peace dwelling in me, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I thank God today that the Prince of Peace dwells in each and every one of us, and as we trust him. And today, if somebody's listening who doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their own personal Savior, then I would recommend that you ask Jesus to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you for your sins, for all those things that you've done wrong, and turn away from your sinful nature, and turn your eyes upon Jesus, and look full into the wonderful face of the Savior who died for all our sicknesses and for all our diseases. Confess your sins, it says to him. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to come into your life and begin to make him the Lord of your life. And if you need more information, you find our email address on the website. And you can contact us that way, and we'll continue to speak and to minister to you in Jesus' name. And the website is harvestfieldsministries.com. And the Lord bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good.